A word of warning. A very special guest makes an appearance at the beginning of this episode, and it is definitely not safe for work. Even with the bleeps. Where's that explicit tag setting again?
Hi, this is Scott Sigler, author of the free podcast Nocturnal and the upcoming hardcover release Infected, which will be out April 1st. And you are listening to episode 19 of Avedon Hill with P.G. Holyfield!
Yes, that was the one and only Scott Sigler. Yes, I know, he didn't exactly get the name of my podcast right, but...
All right, Holyfield, you rotten bastard.
Huh?
Let me let this truck go by.
Bastard.
Since I recorded in a closet.
That's not needed, big
man. I record in a closet. The wall of the closet, by the way, faces a four-lane road, one way. Traffic going by all the time. A lot of trucks and a lot of Harleys. So all the beautiful sound quality you hear out of me, I have to fight that shit all the time.
Well, maybe next time you should pick a closet that doesn't face an exterior wall.
Now, I'm sure that you are safely ensconced in some suburban mecca in your basement with your soundproofing and your nice mics and no noise at all, and everything's just great.
Yeah, it is pretty nice, except when the air conditioner and the heat come on. And
I'm sure everything's just great for you.
When someone flushes a toilet.
See, there's the goddamn trucks again. Can you hear them?
Or runs the dryer.
It must be nice to take nearly 2 weeks to release every friggin' episode. I'm putting out two episodes a week and sometimes a third episode of just some crazy crap that I come up with just to freak them all out. And here you are, sitting back, sipping on Mai Tais with a little umbrella stabbed into a little piece of fruit, put into a little cocktail glass that looks like a monkey head with a straw coming out of it.
That'd be Crown Royal, my man.
That's what you do all day, is sit around and sip on your drinks and go, maybe I'll get around to podcasting, maybe I won't get around to podcasting. I'm not really sure what I'm going to do today. Maybe I'll pick my ass for a little while, go record 5 minutes, then I'll go out and mow the lawn, go record five more. It doesn't matter because I take 2 weeks to put out every freaking episode.
But
so listen up, PG Holyfield Murder on Avedon Hill, sitting there rubbing it in my face that you got the nicer studio in a suburban house and you only put out an episode once every 2 weeks. There's gonna be retribution for this shit. Don't you forget it.
Welcome to the podcast presentation of Murder at Avedon Hill, The Chronicles of Aramis Cragan, written and produced by P.G. Holyfield. That was my friend, Scott Sigler. Yes, I know he got the title of the podcast wrong twice in, 90 seconds, but, you know, he really is a nice guy. And considering he pretty much sticks to the single-word titles, Earthcore, Ancestor, Infection, well, there was The Rookie, but The doesn't count for much, does it? I'm sure that a four-word title was a little much for him. Now, I know you junkies that listen to this podcast got a kick out of that, and for the rest of you that haven't listened to Scott Sigler's podcast novels, well, you get a lot more of that, but at least it's focused on horror and science fiction that will grab hold of you and not let go. His work is over at scottsigler.com. Go check him out. This week we have a short chapter, so I'm going to jump right into it. Excuse my voice for this week. I've been fighting a sinus infection. I'm getting better, but you might hear it in the voice a little bit. I'll chat some more after the chapter, but for now, let's get to it. Episode 19 of Murder at Avedon Hill.
Chapter 17. Heart's Blood. The icon of Ursula, the child of nature. The blood of the stag is the most powerful claret of the animal world. You will never find me without a vial or two, in case of injury or malaise. The Linus Compendium.
Aramis noted that Aaron's pace was more hurried than usual. Aramis rested on a bench in the center of the town circle. From his vantage point, the monk could see several homes and shops, including the butcher shop and a community house where several manor employees lived. Greta's small home was also located off the circle, to the northwest. Aramis did not wish to visit Gloria Platt, Greta's mother, until they had found something to share with her. Aramis felt he owed Gloria Platt something concrete before he invaded her daughter's home. Aaron stopped in front of Aramis and dropped his pack to the ground. "We've got to talk." Aaron described the note he had read, which to him indicated that the potion she was creating was for Lord Avedon and that time was becoming an issue. He also described his conversation with Shane Olivette, detailing Shane's encounter with Brianna Ray and the blood-soaked packages she claimed to have bought from the butcher. Aramis then shared what he had learned. Aubrey Avedon's journal had provided confirmation on a few items. The fact that the title of house mistress was a misnomer. That a Platt family member had been tied to Avedon Hill's leaders for nearly 400 years. And that the scope of her duties, while still unclear to Aramis, went well beyond managing the manor and its staff. The more intriguing point was that since the completion of the Avedon Pass, there had been no rise or fall in the population of Avedon Hill. The question remained, why? "So what's next?" Aaron had remained standing during their exchange, nearly bouncing from one foot to the other. Aramis had continued writing in his journal, not pausing as Aaron described his learnings. Finally, he closed the notebook. "We still have several people we have not yet met. The guard, Rock, who was in the kitchens when Greta was killed, and the third constable, Tanner. He's the one that had the argument with Lila the morning after Greta's murder. And if we are lucky, maybe we will see the two Avedon children we have yet to meet, Edward and Julienne. Once we do that, then we can move on to some of these new things we have learned." Aaron stared at his mentor. Aaron's left eyelid twitched uncontrollably, and his face had turned a shade of pale red. "Well, here it comes. I actually expected this sooner."
"Aramis, what are we doing here?"
Aaron spread his arms out, imploring Aramis to respond.
"History? Population? We've got a murderer, a moon beast outside of town. I'm apparently dreamwalking now, and you seem more interested in how well Greta managed the town's finances. Rock? Tanner? You want to talk to these people? People we know did not kill Greta and seem to know nothing that can help us. Why?"
Aramis spoke slowly and without emotion.
"I would have to disagree with you on that last point, Aaron. As your friend Shane has shown, these townspeople know more than they think they know. Or they know much more and choose to remain silent until we ask the right questions."
Aaron rubbed his forehead.
"But why do you insist on going down this path of gold and power when we are finding more and more evidence pointing towards a vampire? Father Joris feels it. The vampires you faced outside of town. Greta's corpse disappearing. Bloody packages being carried around by members of the manor staff, for Aja's sake."
Aramis smiled.
"Yes, it is becoming clear that something is going on at the manor, and that Greta might have been murdered by someone that is other than what he or she seems. But what do you want us to do right now? Do you have someone in mind to confront, to accuse of Greta's murder?"
Aaron winced.
"It's not that I want to accuse anyone. I just want to investigate this undead presence that Father Joris feels around Avedon Hill, while your desire is to investigate how many people lived here 300 years ago.
Aramis bowed his head for a moment.
You have heard me say this many times, Aaron. Knowledge is power. But more than that, knowledge is our only power here. We are outsiders. The more information we have, the more leverage we will have at our disposal when the time comes. Yes, I admit that Greta Platt may have been killed by a vampire, but even so, we know this was not some random killing. She died for a very specific reason, whether it be over love, hate, jealousy, or for some reason we have yet to even consider. We need to learn all we can about Greta and her own power in order to learn why she was killed. And once we know why, the who will follow.
Aramis used a reference he knew Aaron had heard from his mother. Avedon Hill is a house of cards, young prince. We are slowly pulling the cards out, one by one. We have to do this slowly, and we have to start from the top. If we do not, the house will fall, right on top of us. And we cannot afford to have that happen now, can we? That being said, Aaron. Aramis stood, and as he did so, he picked up Aaron's pack and handed it back to the young prince. Let's go back and visit our friend Kaj. He might have some of that lamb left, and he might be able to shed some light on these bloody packages.
Avedon Manor is my primary customer. At least 15 deliveries a month. And in addition, Chef Roland makes special requests for guests at the manor and the like.
Kaj was using a large cleaver to hack the hindquarters from a sheep's carcass. A few days ago, someone saw Brianna Ray carrying bloody packages of meat back to the manor. Did she get them from you?
Yes.
Chef Roland needs something special? Kaj shook his head no.
He would come himself, not send a maid. It was Olviar and Whitetail, but it wasn't your normal cuts of venison.
Aaron guessed. Livers? Kaj nodded.
And hearts.
The heart of a heart. This request didn't strike you as strange. Kaj shrugged his shoulders.
Living in Avedon Hill, you tend to get used to strange requests. Marissa asks for blood, as does the clothier, Sarah. And Lane Nichols requests the bloodiest livers I can give her.
Lane? Aramis was surprised at the way his voice sounded. He hoped Aaron hadn't noticed. Aramis understood why the herbalist and someone that works with dyes might collect blood. But why would Lane need bloody livers? Aramis asked Kaj the same question. Kaj smiled.
Liver stew, bloody as the abyss. She made it for me once. I've been trying to get the recipe ever since.
And why does the seamstress need blood? Aaron asked, remembering the strange incense that Sarah Tremaine had used to affect their senses the day before.
Dyeing fabrics, I believe.
Kaj smiled for a moment before realizing it. He coughed in an attempt to cover it.
But you'll need to speak to Miss Tremaine about her needs.
After a few more questions, and another quick bite to eat, Aramis and Aaron left Kaj's shop. Where to now? Let us see if any of the manor staff are at their communal home. Maybe they will open up more to us there. As luck would have it, Brianna Ray exited the front door of her home as they approached. In earlier meetings, Brianna had shown herself to be less assertive than her counterpart, Allie Moore. This time was no different. She could barely bring herself to meet Aramis's gaze.
Good morning, sir.
Brianna, I have a few more questions for you. Brianna. He did his best to get her to look up at his face. Brianna reminded Aramis of an animal that had been abused, and he didn't like to see that in anyone. She finally looked up into his eyes.
You do not have to be scared. I am not going to get you into trouble.
I know that, sir. I just...
Brianna's voice trailed off.
May we come in, Brianna? I'm an old man, and I need my rest. Aaron, can you get me some water?
Aaron understood what Aramis was doing.
Yes, of course, sir.
Brianna had already led them into the common room and turned horrified.
No, I should do that.
The monk grabbed her hand.
No, you are at your home, not at the manor. My student can get me some water. He is quite good at fetching. Please, sit with me here.
Brianna slowly moved over and sat beside Aramis.
Did you like Greta Platt?
Brianna smiled for the first time in front of Aramis.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir. She was a wonderful lady.
You do understand that we're only trying to find out what happened to her, and that no one will be punished if they have done nothing wrong.
Brianna nodded.
Good. I need to ask you about something, and you just need to be honest with me. Brianna had relaxed a great deal, but Aramis could see that she was expecting a difficult question. He did not disappoint her. We know you picked up some strange items from Kaj last week. What was that all about?
Tears immediately began welling up in Brianna's eyes.
They weren't for me.
I did not assume that, Brianna. I surmised that someone sent you to pick up those packages. I just need to know who that was and what the items were for, if you know.
Karin Avedon told me not to talk about it. She told me she is learning how to cook, and she was working on a special recipe. Some sort of meat pudding. Oh, please don't tell her I told you, Sir Aramis, please.
Aramis patted the hand he was still holding. No need for you to worry, Brianna, but did you not find it strange?
Oh, sure. Hearts? Bloody livers? That doesn't sound like good food to me.
Brianna appeared to grow nauseous just thinking about it.
My hands were stained with it by the time I was done, even though they were wrapped.
So if my timeline is correct, you were asked to do this days before Greta was killed. Brianna nodded.
The first time I was sent to Kaj was 2 or 3 days before Greta was killed.
First?
Yes. The second time was the day after Greta's death.
Have you been sent to Kaj by Karen before or since?
No, sir.
Aramis let go of Brianna's hand. He stood as Aaron entered the room with a cup of water. Good timing, Aaron. Give that to Brianna. She looks like she needs it more than I do. Aaron handed the cup to Brianna, who smiled and nodded her thanks. The two men took their leave, and once they reached the street, Aramis turned northeast towards Avedon Manor. Aaron asked,
What now?
We need to learn more about Karin Avedon's new hobby, without being thrown out of town. Like I said, short chapter. I would have paired this with chapter 18, but chapter 18 and 19 are both short as well. They're good lead-in to chapter 20. So next episode, we'll have chapters 18 and 19. My voice will hopefully be stronger for that one. And after that, we get to one of my favorite sections in the novel, where some of the questions that have been posed will finally be answered. Maybe. Thanks to our guest voices for today's episode, Natalie Metzger reading the part of Brianna Ray, and Jeff Greiner from the Tome Show podcast reading the part of Kaj the Butcher. A reminder that next week I will be doing some video chats on Uvu with anyone that wants to join in, have questions about the novel or the podcast, got a podcast you'd like to plug, want to see yourself in a video podcast, then contact me through email, Skype, Uvu, Twitter, etc., and we'll set something up. And if you don't want your mug showing up on a video, then feel free to call the Karen line at 704-315-5884 and let me know what you think of the podcast. You can leave some questions there as well, and I'll answer them on the video podcast I'll be putting together or on a separate audio listener appreciation podcast. So there you go. Thanks again to Rick Stringer for adding his voice to the chapter intros. And stick around, we've got a couple promos, and after that I'm going to throw in some audio that will prove that editing can make anybody sound pretty good. So stick around for that, and we'll see you next week.
They tap into your bloodstream like tiny little vampires. They hack into your nervous system like you were a walking computer network built just for them. They flood your body with chemicals that cause fear, paranoia, and psychotic rage. It's a disease that thinks. It's a disease that talks. And if you're lucky, you die before it becomes a disease that walks. On April Fool's Day, experience the horror thriller novel, Infected, the major hardcover release from number one bestselling author, Scott Sigler, creator of the free podcast novels, Earthcore, Ancestor, and Nocturnal. Available April 1st, online and in bookstores everywhere. Free audio chapters of Infected are available at scottsigler.com and infectednovel.com. The disease kills you slowly if the cure doesn't kill you first. Consider this promo a controlled substance. Only one drug can bring the visceral and the sublime together in a single trip. Where the best and the worst of the human drive boils down into a techno-art concoction that's half street-level heaven and half the fiery beauty of hell. From Matt Wallace, Parsec award-winning author of The Failed Cities Monologues, this is The Next Fix. Kick back to the strains of Earth's last top 40 as the final human DJ sends a shout out over the last frequency. Step into the hard-boiled beauty of the Lusting Corridor, where that which once escaped a man is met again. Tool up with a lone cop who polices the terrifying carrion underground of the future as you seek the end of flesh. Experience one of the most unique and captivating imaginations in fiction today, collected for the first time anywhere in print and featuring 12 original stories and one full-length novella, The Next Fix by Matt Wallace.
Hi, this is Mer Lafferty from I Should Be Writing and Playing for Keeps and a bunch of other stuff. But I just wanted to say that Matt Wallace is big like Bear. He is smart like Bear. And he writes like Bear. Scary stories that roar at you and make you look for the closest tree to climb. Maybe if you roll over and play dead, the next fix won't bite. Maybe.
Matt Wallace serves up two-fisted literary action, if, of course, your fists are half-cybernetic, the size of ham hocks, and covered in broken glass.
Hey, everybody. J.C. Hutchins, author of the Seventh Son podcast novel trilogy here. Matt Wallace is the boogeyman in your closet. He's the monster under your bed. He's the shadow that slides along the walls. Matt Wallace's writing is so compelling and so terrifying that you'll keep turning the pages, addicted to his work, questing for the next fix.
Pre-order your copy today in limited edition hardcover from ApexBookCompany.com and have it personally inscribed by the author himself. Are you ready for the next fix?
You've been listening to Murder at Avedon Hill, a podcast novel written and produced by P.G. Holyfield. Please visit pgholyfield.com for more information on this novel and the author. Most of the music in this podcast generously provided by Shira Common through magnatune.com. Magnatune.com, they are not evil. Additional music generously provided by Kevin MacLeod through his website at incompetech.com. Be sure to check out Murder at Avedon Hill at podiobooks.com, and if you are so inclined, please post a review at iTunes, at Podcast Pickle, or at podiobooks.com. Audio comments about the podcast can be left on the Cairn line at 704-315-5884. Or go to pgholyfield.com and click on the Call Me button to leave comments. This podcast is copyright 2007-2008 by P.G. Holyfield and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works 3.0 U.S. license.
Walking Dead. They're constantly coming around. They're walking around. They're dead. It's almost like they don't understand the natural order of things. They've passed on already. They've had their chance on this earth, and then they feel like they get a second chance, but it's not like it's a regular second chance. What is it? It's some kind of feasting upon the living. That's not what you would do with a second chance. If I had a second chance, all the things I would do, I would treat people better, not go around trying to eat
We've
them.
Got a murderer, a moon beast outside of town. I'm apparently dreamwalking now, and you seem more interested in how well Greta managed the town finances. I shouldn't shake the paper as I'm reading.
I mean, they're feasting on us like we're some kind of lower things on the food chain, like we're some kind of animals, like rabbits to a wolf. I don't understand. This makes no sense. It doesn't even fit it scientifically.
In earlier meetings, Brianna had shown herself to be less assertive than her counterpart. Can't remember her name.
Oh yeah, let's get the rest of this shit too. Oh, you want me? You want a rant? You want a rant? In case you can't tell since I've been recording all goddamn day, I am rant enabled. I am like rant plus four. I'm the Vorpal Sword of Ranting, effective against all types, not just orcs, Pally.
I mean, it's not like they swab your neck before they bite. I mean, what about infection? Surely they don't brush their teeth very often. They don't have to. They're dead, for God's sakes. Have you ever smelled the breath? It's like feet that are dead, because they're dead, and they have feet that smell, because I'm sure they don't take baths, I mean.
But you'll need to speak to Miss Tremaine about her needs. But you'll have to speak to Miss Tremaine about her needs. Why am I repeating that frickin' sentence? That's somebody else's line.
I mean, come on, they're always prancing around those gay little capes, thinking, oh, I'm a bloodsucker, oh.
And that the scope of her... and... I need to ask you about... Look at that. How much that changed the Sam sound. Mother. Love how the sound changed once you changed the position of the microphone.
Keep trying to take us. They keep taking more from my family and from me and from the Avedons. I don't understand why they must constantly be taking. They don't give. They're not givers. They don't hug you before they bite you. They just treat you like food.
Okay. I'm gonna go now. Keep going.